Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back, I'm very pleased to say, joined by Claudia Rosette, one of the great investigative reporters of, well, all time, but particularly of ours. She has been contributing mightily through a variety of outlets over many, many years. Now, as a blogger at PJ Media's Rosette Report, also as a foreign affairs columnist with Forbes.com, she's a foreign policy fellow these days with the Independent Women's Forum. Among other things, she is the recipient of the Center for Security Policy's Mightier Pen Award and also the Eric Brundell Award for groundbreaking reporting in connection with work she did on the UN oil for food corruption. It's so good to have you with us, Claudia. Thanks for taking a few minutes.
Thank you, Frank. It's great to be here.
You've spent a lot of time, as I mentioned, in Asia. You have understood extraordinarily well what kinds of dynamics are operating with this regime in Pyongyang. But talk a little bit, Claudia, about what this regime is about and why the way it treats, well, its own people as well as people like ours, Otto Wambier, is indicative of a very serious problem with it.
Yeah, well, this is a genuine totalitarian state. This is the kind of thing that's out of the worst of what you read in George Orwell. It's that kind of a place, and which is something that very often gets left out of the, for really practical purposes, gets left out of the debates over what to do as North Korea over the decades has pursued nuclear weapons, which it now has, and methods to deliver them, which is what that ICBM test this on for July 4th in our face was about. And the problem is, it's very hard to reform a totalitarian state. The endless assumption of the various measures that are proposed to try and alter North Korea's behavior make the assumption that you can alter North Korea's behavior. And actually, if Kim Jong-un were to seriously try to really reform, I think he would effectively be writing himself out of power. His own people, as soon as they had the chance, would probably topple him, probably kill him. Think of Romania, if you want some sort of comparison. And it's the old cliche is riding the tiger. This is a very ugly tiger that has been a very angry, hungry tiger. What else can we say about it? The focus on North Korea's missiles and nuclear bombs, again, what also often goes missing is just how atrocious, monstrous, barbaric this regime is on really every other front.
And you've arrived at the conclusion, as have I, that short of a regime change, we're not likely to see any improvement, which really raises the question, so what are our options for trying to accomplish that?
Yeah, I mean, if the assumption that they'll just give up the nuclear program, first of all, a series of deals done starting with Bill Clinton and then under President Bush and then attempted under without success even in the deals, but attempted under President Obama have all failed to stop this program, all of them. North Korea has used them as pit stops to regroup and continue. And we are now at the point where, as you're hearing on many fronts right now, the can has been kicked down the road to where there's really no more road left. It's becoming extremely dangerous, not just that they can potentially target the United States with a nuclear-tipped intercontinental ballistic missile, which is bad enough, but especially with their shakedown rackets. North Korea is an adept practitioner of nuclear extortion, but they sell their weapons. So it's not just that they could potentially target us or South Korea or Japan. It's that they can give this technology or the weapons themselves, sell them to a place like Iran. And you have a spreading global problem from this.
This is all made possible, but to be clear, and again, you've spent a lot of time in Asia, including in the part of the world that has been really the enabler of so much of this, namely communist China. Claudia, we have been encouraged to believe for years now, not just under the Trump administration, but through many of its predecessors, that China is on our side in this struggle with the North, that they can be relied upon to help break the kind of growing threat that we're seeing from the North Koreans. How do you read that?
That's complete nonsense. I thought that for years. I said that for years. China is not on our side of this. North Korea makes its threats against South Korea, America, Japan, America and its democratic allies, basically. And I think China has been fine with that for a very long time, since they backed North Korea in the Korean War. That's not a problem for China. And you will often read, China doesn't want them to get nuclear weapons. Well, that's what China officially says. But China's a place, not unlike North Korea in this respect, where the official line may be very, very far from the truth. It's what they want you to hear. It's propaganda is what we used to call it before the days of fake news. And if you look at it, North Korea is highly unlikely to target China with one of these missiles. China would obliterate North Korea without the kind of democratic debate that we go through when we agonize over what to do, over things like that. China, there might be a few people who will agonize, but it's not a national debate. And it's ordered at the top. They're run, but it is single party rule in a country where there is no, dissenting publications are not allowed. The internet is controlled. Their Nobel laureate who stood up for pluralism, democracy, and free speech and so forth, they put in prison until recently when they released him because he has terminal cancer. That's China. So the idea, and China has actually done very well out of hosting nuclear talks with North Korea over the years, because America comes to China asking the favor, will you help us? Well, China has other things right now that it wants from us, one of them being China has become increasingly aggressive in its own right in both around disputed islands off Japan and in the South China Sea, where they are making these territorial grabs, building these artificial reefs and topping them with military bases, which threaten freedom of navigation in vital shipping straits. You know, you're now talking about the supply of oil to Japan through Southeast Asia, that kind of thing.
And a lot of trade with us as well through those waters. It's a very serious strategic development, economic as well as military.
And an intricate manipulation and negotiation, because China needs to sell things to us to benefit from all that trade as well. But one of the things that they are that North Korea provides them is a chit where basically they can say, you want help with North Korea? You leave us alone in the South China Sea. Now, the current approach is more and more turning to, well, let's pressure China, let's sanction China. The problem there is, first of all, you have to bring an enormous amount of pressure in various ways where it's going to have effects beyond whatever you're trying to achieve with North Korea. Second, it's not just China who's involved in helping North Korea cheat, get around sanctions, carry on. Russia as well.
And the president, of course, as we speak, is sitting down with both of those countries. Claudia, there's so much more to talk about. We are hard out of time. I in particular wanted to just acknowledge our visit together 20 years ago, the occasion of the surrender of Hong Kong, and what a tragic development that was. Again, underscoring your point that what the communist Chinese are up to is not helpful to us, needless to say, and likely to become ever less so as the days progress. We will leave it at that for the moment, though, but we'll have you back soon. Claudia Rosette, thank you so much for the great work you do at Forbes and PJ Media and elsewhere. Always our visits here are very, very much appreciated.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.